life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Hailing from parts unknown, it's episode 54 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun, with your hosts, Brian Smith and Anthony Askew.
Afternoon
to you, Anthony.
It's hot today, mind. I want to comment on the weather right now. It's unbelievable.
Summer has arrived here in the United Kingdom.
About time.
Yeah, it's a bit warm here as well. Though I was wearing shorts from yesterday. Maybe it was a bit too early. Because I left the house and it was quite warm at 8:30. And then when I got to Reading at 9:30, it cooled down a bit again. And I was like, not sure I really need to put shorts on.
Plan ahead.
Yes, talking of planning ahead, this is part 3 of our superhero month. Which we didn't quite plan ahead, because I believe in the last episode you said this episode would be about the Skull Man.
Well, it was going to be, but then it wasn't.
I didn't might not be, as you hadn't got your DVD.
Yeah, well, I've got it now, so next time. Yes, not Skull Man. What are we here for?
Right, we are here for to talk about a 2002 anime. And it was pretty hard to fit our year-long theme of 2002 anime into the theme of superhero.
But we managed.
We managed, yes. A bit of a stretch. And that we are going to be talking about Ultimate Muscle, the Kaneko Man Legacy.
I can't believe this is 10 years old.
But we'll get to that after our features. And our first feature is our regular look at the week's UK anime releases, of which there is only one this week. Oh. And that is Hetalia World Series, which is season 3 of Hetalia.
Yep, I've only got silence for this. I'm not going to bother with this.
You watched a bit on Netflix.
I did give it a go, but I still don't know whether it's for me. So it's not even a case if I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's not for me.
Well, this is one I saw some of when it was airing on the net. And I prefer this series to the second series. And as you might suggest from its subtitle, it's now Hetalia World Series rather than Hetalia Axis Powers. And that's because it kind of spreads itself a bit wider in terms of the different countries it turns into human beings and then makes jokes about.
Will you be getting this one?
I should probably pick it up like I did the other one, cheap, some point at a convention.
That's fair enough.
Probably if there's some sort of deal on buy 3 DVDs, get one free or something. Or whatever ones Manga Video do. They tend to do deals, don't they? An expo or a convention.
Yeah, I'll pass up on this one. Thanks, Manga. So, sorry.
Well, even if they send you it as a review copy?
Probably. I just really don't want to watch it. Nor do I really want to talk about it.
Righty-ho. Okay, so what do you want to talk about in our second feature? What you watch. What have you been watching?
I have been watching, like a lot of other people on the internet at the moment, in the world, and that is The Dark Knight Rises.
Yes,
I went to see it on Friday.
Well.
Day one release. Because I didn't want people spoiling it. I don't like spoilers. And nobody did spoil it because I was, you know, booked tickets early, guaranteed a seat. And I loved it. I loved it. Everything. People can whinge all they want. This is what I wanted it to be like. This is how I wanted it to be.
What, with as little Batman as possible?
You say that, but I think that this film's more about Batman than The Dark Knight was.
I mean, it's been a while since I've seen The Dark Knight. I will say I saw this and I enjoyed it, but I have no inclination to watch it again. If I really wanted to, I could pick it apart. It's a very easy film to hate, I think. I think people who want to be annoyed at it can find a massive amount of things to be annoyed about it.
And at the same time, in my camp, it's easy to put those negative thoughts out of your mind and just love it. Just love it. I just think there's so many great scenes where I was like on the edge of my seat, like tingling, and I just loved it. I was really hyped for this anyway, so perhaps a little biased.
Well, yeah, maybe that's the difference, because I was not hyped for it. I was looking forward to watching it, but I hadn't gone and watched the previous two again to get myself.
Oh, see, I didn't need to. I've seen them enough to know what to expect, know what to want. And I just want to say, Bane steps in the shoes of a great villain, and he does a good job. Tom Hardy is Bane. What do you reckon?
Really? I think he was great.
Wasted?
Yeah.
What did you want?
Well,
more.
A bit more. Well, you can't. I'm not sure whether he just does the best. He's good because he does the best with what is a unforgiving role.
Mm-hmm.
And whether somebody else would just be bad, or whether you could just put anybody.
Possibly. Well, I'm not really focusing on Tom Hardy as such. I mean, just Bane as a villain. I thought he was really, really good. I don't know. I think he did a good job of.
Great line. I've got loads of problems. I used to, when I first got out of it, I thought, oh well, if I'd liked seen it before the Avengers, I might have liked it more, because there's bits in it where it comes across, I don't know, half hype. It's got loads and loads of nods to stuff out of the comic books, but it never quite embraces them as a comic booky thing,
right?
And then that just comes off a bit, I don't know, cheesy doesn't seem the right word, but there's some things which almost made me groan, particularly towards the end.
What did you think of Bane's voice? Because I know you were on that.
That was horrible. It was. If they do a DVD version with the original version of the voice.
I can't remember how it sounded.
It sounded like he was talking from behind a mask, as opposed to in this film, sounds like he's talking outside of some speakers.
Somebody else
is doing a voiceover for him.
That is amusing. But I was willing to like put that quite a big hitch to one side and ignore it, or at least attempt to. But yeah, it does take a while to get used to the voice and kind of start understanding what he's saying.
I mean, I could understand straight away. I'd have preferred if it was harder to understand, if you really had to work. Yeah, like it was originally.
See, I can't remember. I really can't remember what the original trailer was like. I might have to YouTube it after this.
But having slept on it, I think the actual problem is it spends... Because the Dark Knight had like one story beat too many. I think this has loads of story beats too many.
Oh, there's so much.
Mm. And I think that's because it spends far too much time trying to put one over on the audience.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of things where it's like, right, this is what's actually happened. That's who that is. Not what you thought was happening. Nah.
Yeah, but if you've... Again, it's like if you've read any of the comics, it's expecting people who've read the comics to think one thing, and then it goes out of its way to try and make you not think that thing.
And then
it turns out that it goes out to be the thing you would have thought it was in the first place. So at the end, I thought, well, that was a lot of wasted effort.
It's so long. It's incredibly long. Mm. I couldn't believe just how long it was. But I was liking it, so I was kind of, I was forgiven in terms of.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it generally. It's just the bit where, as I said on Twitter, if you were looking for a nap during it, as soon as Tom Conti appears on screen, you can probably catch.
Is that all the prison stuff?
Yeah.
I really like the prison stuff. I like this. I'm not even. I don't want to spoil it. I'm not spoiling anything. But something else I was going to say about, and I can't remember what now. I like the idea that the problem in this film is a lot bigger than the Dark Knight's problem. Like the main bad thing going on in the Dark Knight is pitiful compared to this. What's it in the Dark Knight? The Joker's got two boats. One's got a bomb on, the other one doesn't. That's it. Big deal. This is on such a large scale, and that's what I like.
The fact that it appears to be a tribute to a famous scene in the Adam West Batman.
I did see your tweet about that.
Yeah, and if you look on the YouTube video, then loads of people have thought exactly the same thing, which made me like it more after I realised that.
You think it's a legit tribute?
I don't care whether it is a legitimate
But in your mind, you
want it unconscious. The fact is, it doesn't have a very strong resemblance to that scene from the Adam West Batman. And yeah, I liked Anne Hathaway's Catwoman a lot.
Oh, she was very good. I was impressed. I
think Joseph Gordon-Levitt kind of has the default role of being the main character, I think, in the movie.
Gary Oldman's Grace as Gordon.
Yeah, he's pretty good. It's like almost every character you think there's not really enough of them in the film.
I love seeing Gordon.
Because there's loads of extraneous bits, but this is probably for a different podcast about The Dark Knight.
Yeah, which should have really been last week's episode. So, but never mind. What else have I been watching? I think that could be it, because I was kind of just blown up all week to watch this. I was actually just like kind of nothing else can I really want.
Christmas.
I did start watching... what is it called? That Wayne's film. Sucker, I'm Gonna Get You, or...
I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. I did start watching that on Netflix, and thankfully I had to go to bed.
Have you seen that before?
I'd never seen it before, no.
I saw you. When it's good, it's very good. Mm. But I think there's lots of bits where it lags.
Mm. I'll probably watch the end of it, don't get us wrong, but...
Now, talking of something which does that sort of parody, but much better, I watched the first episode of the Black Dynamite TV show.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Which, I will say one thing about it, it's a good job you can't libel the dead.
Tell me more.
Well, it's about Michael Jackson, the very first episode.
Oh, really? God. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that, kind of.
It's very funny, and it's very... well animated, and it's got, I think, everybody, all the characters who are in it, who are in the movie, are voiced by the same people.
That's good.
Yeah, so it's a pretty good continuation.
Great film.
Yeah, it's a really good film. And the other thing I saw, which I saw yesterday around my brothers, watching Disney XD, was Gravity. The first episode of Gravity Falls.
What's all that about?
It's about two kids who get sent away for the summer to stay with their granduncle in this town, this little town in the countryside called Gravity Falls, where there's loads of monsters. So the first episode, the sister gets a boyfriend who she's hoping is a vampire.
Right.
But her brother thinks that he's a zombie. And most of the episode is spent trying to prove that he's a zombie. He behaves like a zombie, but what he actually turns out to be is something hilarious.
Is this like one of your Adventure Time picks?
Put
it in that.
Yeah, it's like a full half hour though.
All right, right.
As opposed to
whatever Adventure Time is, which I forget. Which I've watched a few episodes now. Still not as in love as everyone else seems to be, but never mind. Never mind.
Yeah, I need to get the first series of that on DVD. It's come out. So 12-year-old twin brother and sister Dipper and Mabel Pines, who go to stay with their grunkle staff.
Grunkle?
Yes, their granduncle.
Right. I like it.
It's by Alex Hirsch, who worked on The Marvelous Misadventures of Flapjack and something called Fishhooks, which I've not seen.
I've not seen the bloody Flapjack one.
Maybe not. That's on Cartoon Network. Fairly regularly over here.
Oh, I've not watched Cartoon Network in years.
Who else? They got guest recurring characters. They got Kevin Michael Richardson as the sheriff, and Greg Turkington, who's the real life identity of the comedian Neil Hamburger. But there's a character called Toby Determined, apparently.
Right. Let's see.
So, I'm going to try and find a way to watch more of that, which doesn't... otherwise, I'll just have to catch it whenever I'm around somebody's house who's got a satellite and access to those channels. Right, and talking about things which you need a UK satellite channel to watch, let's move on to our main topic.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Ultimate Muscle.
Rah! I was thinking maybe we should sing along to the intro.
I can't remember how it goes.
Oh, I can. I'm not going to sing it. I refuse to. Just this once. I'm not going to give in to doing voices. Just this once. How did you first watch this back in the day?
I saw this around my mum's, just randomly flicking through the cartoon channels, because it currently airs in the UK on a channel called Kix.
So this is still on TV over here?
This is still on TV. In fact, it will be on...
Right now.
No, it's not on... right now, I can tell you what's on Kix right now, because I have their page open ready. Right now there is Power Rangers SPD, followed by another episode of Power Rangers SPD, followed by another episode of Power Rangers SPD.
What's SPD stand for? Space?
It's the police department or something. I watched the first two episodes of it on Netflix the other day. It's pretty good.
Really? Oh, God.
The martial arts in the first... Yeah, it's pretty good.
I've not watched Power Rangers in years either.
Then that's followed by... 1, 2, 3, 4 episodes of Power Rangers Dino Thunder. Then a couple of episodes of Power Rangers Wild Force. Then back to Dino Thunder.
The Power Rangers channel. So when does Ultimate Muscle manage to squeeze in?
That squeezes in tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Just one episode? Just
a couple of episodes. I think it's the first and second episode they're showing tomorrow.
And then straight back to Power Rangers.
Oh, yes, you're quite right. Yes, it's straight back to Power Rangers. Then it's Sonic Underground, then it's Mucha Lucha, then it's Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation.
Ooh.
In fact, so many, lots of these things are on Netflix. It's surprising that Ultimate Muscle isn't.
Yeah, that would
maybe
be a good...
Maybe it'll be on there soon.
Mm. That'll be a good Netflix pick, I think, Ultimate Muscle.
Isn't there something going on with 4Kids at the moment where... somebody's bought a lot of the stuff out, or maybe it's just the Yu-Gi-Oh stuff they've bought out. I don't know, but I was surprised it wasn't on something like Crackle or Netflix. So we had to go for nefarious means and find somebody who'd taped them off Kix and then converted them into digital files.
Thank you very much, whoever you are.
Complete with Kix logos.
Oh yes.
And occasional cut-ins of whoever the continuity announcer is at the very end of the episode.
So, I can't believe this is still on for a start. I just think I don't know whether it deserves to still be on. I can't imagine kids liking this.
It's not in the list of the most popular shows, I'll tell you.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
They've got a thing. Oh no, sorry, I'm wrong. It's the second most popular show.
I'm scrolling
fast. According to this list, their most popular shows are Power Rangers Wild Force, Ultimate Muscle, Batman of the Future, Mucha Lucha, Sonic Underground, Power Rangers Dino Thunder, and Pinky and the Brain.
That list should probably be reversed.
Well, it possibly is reversed. There's no numbers on them. I'm just...
Right. It's just your own, one of your own lists again.
Is the most popular.
I don't know. I just can't imagine kids liking this in the same way as kids my age back in the day when this first came out would have liked it. I think there's a different generation of kids now.
Well, when did this come out originally in the US? In early 2000s?
Right.
I think that's about right. So this is the second series, second animated show based on the Kinnikuman comic by Yude Tamago. And it's a sequel where basically it's supposed to be 30 years after or 34 years after the end of the original Kinnikuman series. So it's the offspring of a lot of the original characters.
Which obviously for a lot of English people wouldn't have a clue.
Well, unless you were around my age.
Really?
Because... Well, we didn't get the cartoon or the comic. What we did get is the molds of the Kinnikuman King Keshi erasers used to mold a harder pink rubber, which was then sold as millions of unusual small creatures lurking everywhere.
See, I feel like I might have had or seen these before.
Yes,
were they popular or...?
I don't think so. I had a lot of them, and my brother had a lot of them.
Mm.
And then I sold them in 1999 at a car boot sale, and I now wish I hadn't.
They're worth a lot.
If you've got a lot of them, you can offloaded them for a reasonable amount on eBay. Certainly more than I got for them at a cardboard sale. In Pinchbeck.
God. So you knew these characters. So does that you were hyped for this program?
I knew the image. I knew like the appearance of the characters. I wouldn't know the names because they all had different names. Mm-hmm. I think it was like, so Buffalo Man was called Terry Bull. And he was supposed to be the main bad guy of the toy line. And Kinnikuman Man was Muscle Man, leader of the Thugbusters.
Right.
But I'm not sure they gave any of the other characters any names. Or maybe they did. I can't remember. I think maybe they did, because I seem to remember like a big poster where with them all lined up with names underneath them. But some of them were like
before my times. So.
Yeah, someone with like the same characters in different costumes or different shapes.
Mm.
Like the character Sunshine, there was loads of Sunshine because he changed his shape a lot.
Yeah, for me, so you had already this like, oh, what's this? I used to have these toys or something like that when it came on.
Well, I'm trying to think the timeline of this. So I think I was looking at when I fired Scanlations more. Someone started scanlating the original Kinnikuman series,
mm-hmm.
and so that I think that might have been the point at which I connected all those Muscle toys I had with that. Well, that was based on this, and so when Ultimate Muscle came along, I don't think I knew about it when it first appeared. It was much like down the line when just randomly getting it on Kix or something.
Mm. See, I watched this. Like day one, because obviously I used to watch Cartoon Network as a kid. This went out when I was a kid. So, you know, I watched it possibly as soon as it came out over here, potentially. God, that's
so what did you what did you think about it at the time?
Part of it, I don't know, it was a weird one because I always liked the intro better than the cartoon itself. That I think the intro is just so awesome. And I find I know I used to more than now, after watching it again, I used to find a lot of the characters so, so annoying. And I don't know, I really can't remember much, but I think a lot of the humour kind of just went way over my head back then, apart from the obvious fart jokes and stuff, which is still brilliant. But now, I kind of, there's little one-liners that are genuinely funny, and I don't know how. Probably, I don't know whether that's just because it's been dubbed well, because I think the dub's all right. Like the translation, at least.
There's a few. I mean, there's a big problem in the very first episode, which made me go, how did that even get past anybody? We should say what it's about first.
I think everyone should have seen this. Everyone should have been exposed to this at some point.
I don't know if they did, though, because, I mean, it took a while before. I mean, I definitely wasn't aware that it had ever got dubbed. I think I might have been aware that it existed, possibly from... So when did the anime come out in Japan? Originally was 2002. So January 2002 to Christmas Day 2002. And then because it did so well, they had them anime another 13 episodes. So it did so well in America that they commissioned more episodes to run in America, which then eventually ran in Japan.
Which is weird. Cause I don't know, I would imagine this being massive in Japan. Because funny enough, I remember watching Takeshi's Castle like years after seeing the cartoon. And just seeing some guy dressed as Kinnikuman or Kid Muscle, whatever you want to...
I think the problem is that it's popular amongst people who watched the original cartoon in the 80s and are now adults. Because the strip originally ran in the men's magazine Weekly Playboy.
Which I read that and I was like, what? No way.
No, it's not that Playboy.
Yeah, well, I gather that, but I was like... I don't know, because they had erections and stuff in the comics, didn't they?
Yes.
Which I was quite shocked at.
So it was aimed at... So making a cartoon of that for kids, I'm not sure whether really you should have expected it to be that popular. Because the other stuff which sort of surrounds it, you've got what's happened recently, if I made some notes on. You've had, in 2008, they had a Kaneki Man fight in K1 fighting against Bob Sapp. Akihiko Tanaka dressed up as Kid Muscle and fought Bob Sapp in that year.
Are they famous wrestlers, I take it?
Bob Sapp's a pretty famous mixed martial artist in Japan, he was. And then they had, in 2009, they had a wrestling event called Kaneki Mania. And again, they seemed very much aimed at the adult audience. And they, since this series finished, they've gone back and restarted a new Kaneki Man story, which has gone back to the original characters.
What has this? Well, they've got a new strip.
Yeah.
Oh. Surprising.
So, yeah, I think it's more of an adult audience that are interested in Kaneki Man now. So, yeah, you could be right that why would kids... But obviously kids in America did like it enough that...
Oh yeah.
They wanted another 13 episodes made.
Because there's a lot of muscly men, which just... That's what I find, like... Just looking, everyone is so ripped in this cartoon. Everyone. But no, as I was saying, the humour I found a lot funnier now, just watching this week. I can't even remember some of the little jokes, but as a kid I would have been like, I don't even know what that is. I can't even remember anything. I did write something down, but I must have lost the note. It was on my iPad, but I think this is funny. Funnier now than what it was back then. Far funnier now.
I was it was funnier than I expected. There's that bit when the training and he keeps on almost swearing.
Yes, that's it. That's it. And yes, that's a bit. And as a kid, that's like, I don't know. You know, I don't swear as a kid, but now it's like, the fact that they've got away with it.
Yeah, there's one where that's a load of Bolshevik, I believe, is another line out. That's near. Yeah, we only watched the first 6 episodes, which may have been a mistake because it left us on a cliffhanger. So I am actually probably going to have to go and watch the 7th episode to find out whether he won that fight against the mobile phone with arms and legs.
Diabolik.
That's it.
Diabolik. See, I'd already seen these. Obviously, I'd forgot a lot of the stuff, but these are actually quite clear in my memory-ish. In terms of the visuals of some big stupid telephone.
Anyway, are we going to have another crack at actually telling people what it's about?
Perhaps. I think we should. how would you describe it? Well, no, I'm going to have a go. I usually avoid these synopses. So, in a nutshell, obviously it's probably very different from... Well, it is very... Anyway, in a nutshell, this fist gets flung in the earth and that contains the DMP. And they are.
Which stands for?
There's two iterations, I believe. The right one, which they changed for. And I prefer the changed version. Where was it? Demon Manufacturing Plant, which was what it should have been. But over here, we got Destruction, Mayhem, and Pain. Which I think is far better.
Yeah.
In terms of, wrestling hype and, you know.
And their logo is based on the. NWO logo from WCW in the 90s.
I would love one of these DMP t-shirts. I'd feel very cool.
What about DMP underpants?
Not so much.
Someone hand-stitched them?
Well, you never know. But no. But anyway, these guys turn up and these villainous wrestlers? Would you call them wrestlers? Or more
yes, alien wrestlers? Well,
which is why it's...
Yeah, they're... It's sort of everybody's like a, what do they call them, Chojin, so supermen.
Yeah.
But they're wrestlers, yeah.
And then this group of wrestlers who was part of like King Muscle, Terry Kenyon's father, who I forget his name.
They call him there. He's Terry Man in the original.
Terry Man, that's right. And he's very pink in the original, but we might get that later. But yeah, they fight him off, but they're not good enough anymore because they're old. They get these new group of kids. These are the young Muscle people, and Kid Muscle, King Muscle's son, is part of this group.
Yeah, and he does not want to be part of it because he's an absolute coward.
He's terrible. But he still manages to wear a wrestling outfit, even though he's not interested. Why would you wear that?
True.
And in fact, I want to ask you this. What are these? What are this? Is the story behind the masks? Like it's like a shark fin or like a mohawk or something.
I think that's because of how he started off as an Ultraman parody.
Oh, right. That makes a lot more sense. Because I tried to figure out what this... Because the mask, how would you describe the mask?
It's a pink mask with a hole for your very thick lips to come through.
Or beard, if you're an old man.
Yeah, a red rim along the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then like a big fin running from the back of your neck to your forehead.
Which is a weird looking design. But it looks cool.
Yeah, the kid's got a hole for a tuft of hair to come through as well.
Would you wear one of these masks?
Well, no, because I'd have to put contact lenses in.
Because I YouTube like Ultimate Muscle, and not YouTube, Google image searched Ultimate Muscle cosplay, and there's a few guys sporting these masks. Yeah. Plenty of them, and they just look great on a real person. Looks great.
Well, that is the good thing. I mean, at least the human shaped characters, you could easily do the costume. That's why they were able to do that. Kinnikuman Mania, and even they went beyond some of the human-shaped characters. They had Asherah Man, so there was somebody who'd got like four fake arms attached to their body, and there was even someone in a sunshine suit, which is like this guy who looks like he's based on a building, so he looks like a high-rise building.
It's so ridiculous. It's and obviously the phone guy. I don't know if they recreated him, did they?
No, I don't think they did. But even him, you could do as a costume. Quite.
Because
he's literally a huge phone with holes in the side just sticking your arms and legs through.
It's so bizarre. And basically, he ends up going to training. Is it the Hercules School of...
Yeah, I believe so.
Something or other. And yeah, they go back to Earth to fight DMP. And you don't, what do they even do? What are they all about? Because I can't remember.
I don't think of the episodes we got to there. We really got the full scope of their plan or even who was behind it. We just saw three shadowy figures.
With DMP t-shirts on.
Oh, I don't think those were the ones in cloaks who were... like hiding somewhere in Mount Fuji, which is
with the big fist
where fist had hit, and then they sent out Kevin Mask, who was the son of the original Robin Mask from the original series. He also shows up here, whose helmet has somehow grown a mustache over the years, which I liked about Robin Mask.
I don't remember a mustache. Is it like got little metal tashy looking things or what?
Yes, he has. Yeah, because his original helmet, like his son, has got metal sideburns on. But now he's grown older, his helmet has a mustache. I do like that he's got like a Sean Connery impression.
Yes, he does. Oh, whatever you do, listeners, do not Google image search Robin Mask Ultimate Muscle. There's some very offensive images popping up. It shouldn't be. My safe search is on. It's very offensive. But it is a cool mask. It's a very cool mask.
Yeah, so he's a British wrestler, and his son's Kevin Mask, who looks pretty much exactly like him.
Except he's got long hair.
In the original series. He's got long hair, and he's got like a little dangly...
like feather thing, isn't it?
Feather thing on his helmet.
Is there a story behind that? Like, I
don't know. I've not... Literally all I know of the story, really, is the six episodes we watched. So I read a little bit ahead in some, like, a Kinnikuman Wikipedia, but... No, it's like all the pages weren't kept up to the same point, so it was hard to tell where some characters' stories stopped and carried on. Because I know Wally Tuskett, the walrus guy, has some sort of heel turn much later on.
Yes, I've seen that far when I was younger, and that's kind of where I stopped watching it because there was a big break, and they never aired anymore for ages, and they just kept repeating and repeating and repeating, so I stopped watching it.
Yeah, and then apparently there's some sort of time travel. Yeah, but the characters is the thing. And that's because he used to get submissions. I imagine he may still do, but maybe not now. It's a mainly adult audience. But when it was in Shonen Jump, they'd have...
kids sending their own.
Sending their own characters, and then they get used in the series. A lot of those if you look on the Wikipedia page for mm-hmm. them, a lot of those new generation Chojins in the first storyline were reader submissions.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, I don't think many people will be sending them in now, as you say. But you never know. You never know.
Wait. That is true. People living their, reliving their youth. Maybe they still do that. They do play on that sometimes with these things. There was, during that Shin Mazinger run, they put out a new, really expensive Mazinger action figure.
Intended for adults to buy.
Yeah, the advert was basically showing a businessman buying it and then reliving his youth.
Oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? But the everything about this, I don't know. Because when I first watched it, I didn't know what to think of it. Because everyone is so muscular, so you expect like this big, hard-hitting action cartoon. And it's just not. It's like a slapstick, a lot of it, and lots of farting.
Yeah.
But not too much farting.
Eventually, people will start getting killed and things, like in the original series.
See, I don't even think I ended up getting that far. Or at least, I don't know.
Well, maybe, I don't know, it is for kids, so they may be editing it out and stuff. But, or maybe they didn't put it in the cartoon originally. But at least from what I was reading about the comic, later on, Wally Tuskett, or whatever his original name is, becomes part of a team with Neptune Man from the original series. And Neptune Man's old team in the original series used to steal people's masks. But apparently the team in this later series, they cut off people's faces instead.
Ooh. What, that was in the 4Kids version?
Well, I don't think they ever animated that story.
Oh, right. That sounds awesome. Wally Tuskett is a big walrus, in case you haven't guessed. Because the names are a good giveaway to what they might look like. Most of them, anyway. Ramen that Man.
Yes. Some,
yeah, Asian guy.
Yeah, not everyone keeps their... so he's Terry the Kid, he was in the Japanese version, but he's Terry the Grand Kenyan.
Yeah. He is one of the voices I dislike.
Yeah, he's kind of got that smarmy...
Ugh, God, I...
Snarky. You'd think his voice would be like Reggie from the Archie comics or something.
But he's not the worst voice, I don't think.
Who would you say?
And I know you're going to just completely disagree, and you know exactly what's coming. Meat. I don't like meat. Meat is Kid Muscle's trainer, and used to.
Well,
be...
Well, yeah, he has completely the wrong voice because he's not. He's supposed to be a kid, like he is in the original series.
Which sounds great after watching.
And this is the mistake that they made in the first series, in the very first episode, rather, is that he says he's been frozen for 10 years. In the first episode. Yeah, he does not know that Kaneki Man's had a son.
And his son is not 10 years old.
That is correct. He's not. He's a teenager. Whereas he's supposed to have been out for 30 years.
Ah, is that what the story's meant to be?
Yes. Which would make sense. Cause
it would.
That would be plenty of time for him to have some more adventures which haven't been chronicled yet. Get married... have a kid, and that kid grow up as a teenager.
Mm-hmm. I don't like Meat's voice. It's like...
But instead, yeah, he's supposed to be a kid, and he was a kid in the original series. And that's the joke, is that he's younger than everybody, but he's the most sensible character in the entire series. But yeah, in this, instead he's not a kid, and he has somebody doing a Brian Doyle Murray impression, as far as I can tell.
I don't know, who's that?
Brian Doyle Murray, he's... one of Bill Murray's brothers.
Oh.
What's he in? He's in loads of things. He's one of those guys you'll know when you see his face.
Or hear his voice by the sound of things.
Yeah. He's in that Flapjack show, but as you've said, you don't remember it.
Oh, fancy that. That's
But
it's a weird. It's an annoying voice. It's like this boisterous... I was going to do an impression there, but I'll not even have a go. It's annoying, though. It's annoying. As is Terry Kenyon. But everyone else's is perfectly fine.
Yeah, so the other main characters you get in these early episodes is Dick Van Dyck. who is called Gazelle Man in the original.
I prefer Dick Van Dyck, I think.
Well, yeah. Obviously, the amusement is they're getting to say Dick a lot.
Yes, and even as a kid, I found that funny. I remember giggling to that.
And there's I think those are the main ones, aren't
they? Yeah, because the rest of them kind of just come and go.
Yeah, they sort of fade out after the first story arc. Yeah, Gorgeous Man, Ski Adams, Apollo.
Who's the guy in the... He's got like this red hat. Sorry, not red. Blue hat and this blue body armour.
Yeah, you. I think that's Ski Adams.
Right, I don't get what he's all about.
He's supposed to be a UFO themed.
How ridiculous. That must be the most... Well, no, it's not the most extreme character. It's a weird... concept, but UFO themed.
Yeah, so yeah, Kevin Mast kept his name, but Dial Bollock was Telltale Boy in the original,
which isn't as good.
He's a walking, talking cell phone from Hong Kong.
Ridiculous, completely ridiculous.
Yes, I also hooked you up with a source for some of the original, and you watched a couple of episodes of that.
I did, and I liked it a lot better. It's very different, but at the same time, I don't know, I just prefer it. I don't know whether it's the fact that Meat's voice is a big selling point, because it's like I presume it's a female that's doing it, and certainly sounds very feminine, but if it's not a girl, it's a kid, like somebody doing a voice of a kid.
I don't know. Let me just check that out. Meet Alexandria.
I'll have good ears if it's a female.
Yes, it is.
Mori
Matsushima.
Get in. But yeah, it's so different. For a start, it's about obviously not about Kid Muscle. It's about his father, Kaneko Man. And he just walks around topless pretty much all the time. But he's more, as I mentioned to you earlier, he's more of a... Or in my notes, probably I didn't speak to you because I've not spoken to you all day. In my notes, I mentioned that he's more of a superhero.
Yes.
Than a wrestler, which is completely different. He can fly for a start. He can go huge, like this, like a Godzilla character or something.
Yes, but, it's much more of a Ultraman parody at the start, with the growing and the various attacks he's got, and the fact he goes around fighting monsters. But he very quickly gets the wrestling influence. Even in the anime, by the second is Terry Man in the second episode?
He is.
Yeah, because he's based on Terry Funk, the wrestler. Oh. Or at least the names a tribute to him.
And I don't like this guy. I know you're probably not meant to like him, but he's far too pink-skinned. I don't know whether that's them kind of saying, right, this guy's American. He's not Asian, so let's make him as pink as we can be. And he pretty much just goes around thinking he's Crocodile Dundee and stealing money from kids. He's an arse.
But he's also competent.
True.
As
true.
A superhero.
Oh, yeah. But he... Is he that powerful? Because all he's got is a gun.
Well, he can fly and do stuff.
Well, that's a decent.
He is the he's the second main character in the show as it goes along. So
I take it he become. Well, it's obvious.
Yeah, they form a tag team together. I think they're called the Machine Guns, if I remember correctly.
Ooh, good name.
He's the other main heroic character.
I don't get why they've changed. You know, King Muscle, could you see him in the new series? And he's like this horrible-looking man. Why did they make him so disgusting-looking?
Because he got old.
I get that, but...
despite the fact everybody else got old. And
yeah, everyone else is still huge.
Incredibly super fit.
And I just... Ugh. He looks so disgusting. I suppose that's the idea, because...
Well, yeah, it's kind of almost based on the... eye catches from the first series where he's in that muscular pose and then all of a sudden all the muscles drop to his feet. Yeah.
Because that literally actually happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, in so Ultimate Muscle, yeah.
Maybe a little nod, probably a little nod. And it's just, it's like a totally different show, and I think it's a lot easier watching. Because with the like Ultimate Muscle, it's just the story gets thrown at you. I'm not saying it's like complicated. Don't get me wrong, it's not too complicated to understand. But you're just constantly getting thrown. All of a sudden, someone turns up. Ah, let's fight him. And then all of a sudden, they're doing something else. But that's probably a good thing, because if it was slow and boring, it would just lose its punch.
Well, yeah, it's sort of around episode 8, I think, it moves into, you start getting the Chojin Olympics, which is where supermen from all over the world compete to become the number one Superman. And whoever loses will have... It's a bit unfair, because it's a ridiculous... It's whoever loses the final has to stop being the superhero of their country. So not everyone who's lost along the way. Very bad booking. Yeah, and it starts off with doing like sports things, but ends up as like wrestling, and then that's kind of where it all settles down to. So yeah, I've got up to where Kaneki Man's just won.
Spoilers.
Just won the Olympics. He's about to set off on his American tour.
Yeah, so which country is he representing? Japan?
He's representing Japan, yes.
Right, right.
That's the other thing, yeah. He's kind of got like a Superman type origin as well, in that he doesn't, until Meat shows up, he doesn't realise that he's an alien.
Because it's like a silly thing where his parents throw him off a spaceship thinking it's a pig. And I mean, he's not the most handsome character, so that's, you know, maybe easy mistake, but that's pretty amusing. I just can't get over the mask design. I'm looking at a picture now, and it's just, it's like nothing else. It's like, it's so vulgar to look at, but it's good. It's good. There's not as many fart jokes in the, it might change as it goes through, does it? Or?
I think once the change, yeah, I think they first start cropping up really in the, so early on, there's lots of garlic breath jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a race during the Chojin Olympics, and I think that's really where the farting kicks off.
Good, good.
Because he has to use that to power himself to fly faster.
Because the garlic basically gives him the power. It's like Popeye's spinach.
Yeah, whereas in Ultimate Muscle, it seems to be anything which sort of gets him emotionally involved, and then he gets charged up, doesn't he? Like,
yeah.
In the first episode, it's the fact that his lunch has been ruined by the villain.
Ridiculous.
Gets him mad. And then it's because he's trying to impress a girl, and yeah. Which is probably where the erections come in the comic.
Yeah, I would love to see some of those erections. I would love to see them, because I was reading
that... There's a soundbite.
It doesn't sound very good at all. But I was reading the, like, on the release that had forced them to draw over them and stuff, and
yeah, apparently they just stopped doing it as these releases went on. My knowledge of this in America is so little, I hadn't even realised it had got a release in America as a comic until looking all this up. Yeah, the guy who does your friend Meat's voice is Mike Pollock, who I believe is the main voice for... He's done Dr. Robotnik and a lot of things.
Oh, right. Yeah. Hmm. Because I thought Kid Muscle's voice was very familiar. And it's Mark Thompson or Mark S. Thompson or something, and there was nothing else I don't think I've heard him in. Whereas I could have swore that voice is very familiar, but apparently not. Apparently not. But the fart jokes, we need to discuss the fart jokes.
Yeah, the fight between King Muscle and his son. And that was some of the best fart jokes I've seen.
It's so well done. It's so well done.
It's just the images, superimposed images of the noises they're making with their farts.
There's like a chicken. A motor,
yeah, a wren.
Yeah.
Train.
The train one. Oh, God. Yeah, I think you should YouTube it, because I've actually YouTubed it before I started. Well, came on Skype, so to rewatch it again. And it's funny every single time. Even if you could be the most mature individual and still crack a smile at this. It's ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. But, oh, it's so... I can't believe kids just weren't, like, going around trying to fart on people and stuff. And
how do you know they weren't?
That's true. That's very true. I would love it if they did. I would love it if they did. There's another thing. I think my favourite joke from, like, the original is when Kaneko Man signs the forehead of a girl. Because obviously Kaneko Man has this, like, symbol on his forehead. And he signs the forehead of this girl and she doesn't want it to be signed. And he's just, like, pinning this pen against her forehead and signing it. That tickled me.
I'm trying to think of anything else I wanted to mention here. Yeah, it's just gags and violence. And occasionally there's sort of girlfriend type characters in both series.
But we didn't get that far.
But because it's so ridiculous, it's not really played as a romance, is it? They're just there to pass comment during the matches, I think.
It's completely ridiculous. It really is. And I'm just shocked it's still on. Sorry, go on.
I like that the announcer from the first series had gone bald by the by Ultimate Muscle.
Who did?
You've not seen that. You've not got that far in the original series yet. But
right.
Yeah, the one who's got the guy who's basically super deformed.
There's quite a few.
Who shows up in episode 5 or 6 when the match starts against Diabolik.
Right.
He's the one who's got the DWP underpants that his wife hand stitched for him. But yeah, he's in the original series as well, but he's now gone bald and wearing a toupee. There's in One Piece there's the character Panda Man, who was a character that Oda had submitted to Kaneko Man originally.
Oh, that's interesting. Did it get accepted?
I don't think so, no. He appears in the background of One Piece. It's like a Where's Wally type thing. It's like spotting Panda Man in various scenes. I saw that Hiromu Arakawa, who did Full Metal Alchemist, also says it was a big influence on her. I'm sure it's a big influence on lots of people, you can see.
Yeah. Oh, I think the original series is it feels so much better. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's just very different, but at the same time, it doesn't seem outdated.
And yet it's very limited animation, but... It does work very... They do a good job with what little they've got, particularly in those early episodes, I think, is they don't bother...
With backgrounds and stuff.
Yeah, there's not much back. Yeah, because that bit where the cop shows up in one of the early episodes is when first episode when the UFO lands, and the cop who's like I don't know if he carries on much into the series, but early on he's a recurring character. He's always got a gun out as well. And there's a bit later on where you won't see, but there's when in the final of the Chojin Olympics. There's these gangsters having a shootout, and he rolls up and goes, tells the door to stop shooting, and then gets a TV out, and everybody watches it. Mary Poppins shows up in that episode as well. And the Statue of Liberty shows up in Japan to watch it, and they all go, what are you doing here? And then it flashes to New York, and the guy who owns the Beef Bowl restaurant is standing in for the Statue of Liberty.
It's so ridiculous, but it makes sense in this world, this where just anything goes, it seems. Anything goes.
Yeah, because I was reading about how characters get killed and they just reappear, and there's like a storyline excuse for characters coming back from the dead without explanation. Which apparently does play into an arc later on. But
So how does it, I don't know if we're going to spot, how does it actually end, Ultimate Muscle?
I don't know. I think he gets married, and then heads back to
the planet. Is it Planet Muscle or no? Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, it looks like his face.
Oh, goodness.
Try to think. Yeah, because he has to prove his... Yeah, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for the comic. With Kaneki Man scoring such glorious titles as two-time Chojin Olympic champion and winning the tag tournament, his father, King Mayumi, decides to have his son succeed the throne. Fearing Kaneki Man's Chojin power, the five evil Chojin gods select five fated princes to challenge Suguru for the title. In order to prove himself rightful heir to the throne, Kaneki Man and his friends rise to the challenge.
Because obviously, I imagine you like this a lot because of the whole wrestling thing.
Yes, yeah, I do. I know, obviously, wrestlers like it a lot as well, because...
Well, like, real life...
Yes, well, yeah, because people use the muscle bomber move, which was, as far as I could tell, invented... Which they called the butt bomber, I think, early on in the show.
Oh, the butt buster.
The butt buster, yeah.
That must be the most painful wrestling move ever.
Or is it the muscle? So yeah, it's the muscle buster.
Is it the muscle buster? Where have I got butt buster from?
Oh, that's what they call it in the show, but I think later on they change it to...
Ah, right. But it looks very painful. And people have actually like adopted that move. That's
yeah, I think most famously in America, it's the wrestler Samoa Joe uses a variation of it. He doesn't drop as hard on his backside, his own backside, because obviously that would actually hurt people's necks more.
Yeah.
He sort of falls over backwards with it.
Yeah, it looks yeah, very painful.
yeah, and there's I'm trying to think. I know there's more teams have been called the Machine Guns. There's one in America called the Motor City Machine Guns. I'm sure there's other Japanese ones which have had machine guns in their names, which I'm presuming also comes from
this.
The team of Kaneki Man and Terry Man. And there's a wrestler called Carl Machine Gun Anderson, but I don't know whether he's got that name from there as well.
Quite a lot of influence, really.
Yeah, and you got Terry Man. I think later on there's loads of other characters who were influenced by real world wrestlers. And they had to change the name slightly in the anime to avoid getting into trouble. And then there's other characters who don't... They aren't so obviously, but just sort of look like them. Like Neptune Man is designed to look like Hulk Hogan and has Hulk Hogan's finishing move from Japan, the Axe Bomber.
See, this is just way over my head. Like, I haven't watched wrestling in years.
Well, see, I think that could also be a thing why it didn't really take off in the 2000s in Japan around that time, is because wrestling has faded a lot in Japan. And also since then, mixed martial arts as well, so...
Oh, right.
Whereas I think 2002, it was peaking, maybe, in America.
Yeah, I did just watch peaked. Wrestling back then, like, around that
so,
time.
Yeah, mate, I think it would be a harder sell now, because people aren't as interested in wrestling anymore. But maybe it was exactly the right time.
Yeah, probably for America, definitely. Well, hell, they managed to get bloody more episodes done for it, so...
Exactly. That's
so, like... I don't know, it seems like a lot of effort. People demanding more of this.
I think it was Fox wanted it, but because that's where it was airing.
Right. See, I remember... Yeah. So it's four kids now over here. No, what was it? What's it on over here at the moment?
It's on Kix.
Kix, that's right.
I don't know, let me see if I can find who is behind Kix. I know they've got other channels as well, which have got other stuff where you're not quite sure. It's owned by CSC Media Group, whoever they are. Chart Show Channels, a UK-based satellite television channel provider named after the defunct The Chart Show.
Hmm.
Well, there you go. Learn something every day.
I would like to see this come to Netflix, put it that way. It would be great.
Yeah, because they also have Pop Girl, which used to show Pretty Cure as well, in terms of anime shows. You Forgot got dubbed. Don't think that ever came out in America. I think it just got aired in Canada and the UK. Yeah, because they had Mew Mew power as well, which was Tokyo Mew Mew. You should like that. It's got cat girls in it.
What are you implying?
I'm just restating facts you've stated previously.
That's very true. That's very true. Sorry to be so standoffish.
You begin to doubt it now after your experience with Spice and Wolf.
Yeah, that's still not wholly convinced. I've not watched it since last time we spoke, so I'm certainly not that involved with it that way. I might have to sell it at AmiCon. Might have to. So who's your favourite of these wrestlers out of the...
Ultimate Muscle? Yeah. In the episodes we saw. I would say I like Kid Muscle.
I like Buffalo Man. He's very big. Actually, no, Robin Mask. Robin Mask. That Sean Connery voice. Now, I love the look of the mask. Like, if I was a wrestler, I would have one of those masks, maybe. Don't think it'd be very...
A knight's helmet with a moustache.
Yeah. It mightn't be the most comfortable thing to get flung around a ring wearing, but I would make it work. I would make it work.
But you do get the advantage of having the big spike on top of your helmet to use as a weapon.
Mm-hmm. True, true. And I'm looking at a picture of some guy. It's like in a Nazi SS outfit. He must come later on in the series.
There's Brocken and Brocken Jr.
Ah, that's it. What they're called? Because he looks very good. He's my favorite. I don't even know what he does. He's obviously a bad guy, but
I think Brocken was a bad guy and Brocken Jr. was a good guy. Eventually, but lots of guys who start off bad guys eventually become good guys.
Oh, he looks awesome. He's like Bison from Street Fighter, so.
Because that is the way of the world in shonen fighting manga and anime. You beat somebody up enough, they'll eventually become a good guy.
Yeah, it happens in real life.
But in Kanikuman, they sometimes turn back to being evil again. That's the. Because it's wrestling.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that it's all wrestling deep down with some fart jokes and laid on top of it. The fart jokes are just, honestly, they're just so good. Just YouTube that scene, everyone. You'll find it easily. It's brilliant.
Right. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Not really, just I think it's probably, as I said, I probably like it a bit better now for its humour, but I think I'd get annoyed at its pacing, where at times it's just on the go, on the move, and then it'll feel very boring, and you can just do it. I was reading something online while it was on in the background, and I never do that with things. Never, ever do that. Whereas this, you easily can. Bring it to Netflix. I think a lot of people would watch it.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd watch it on Netflix. I'm not going to go and search out whatever DVD release it might be.
No.
I don't know whether... Would you be interested in seeing the original
Japanese version? I would like to see more of that. Yeah. Yeah, now I certainly want to read a little bit just to see some erections.
Well, if I was still giving these show titles silly titles, where I think I'd know what to call this one, but fortunately it won't be called that, because as I discovered, more people find the episodes if you actually call them by what the content of the episode is.
Strangely enough, very strange, but that seems to be the case. Yeah, what do you reckon of this? And as a whole, is it like Ultimate Muscle as a whole, like just Kanikuman, Ultimate Muscle, the comic, obviously, which I presume you've.
Yeah, I like the original, but not enough to really sit down and try and keep up with it. I'm pleased I've seen some of it. I'll put it that way. I think it's worth seeing some of, because it's such an influence and
a key
work.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it does suffer from that limited animation. Later on, it's got its plus and pluses. That limited animation has its pluses and negatives. And I think it does begin to suffer with some of the pacing problems you talked about with Ultimate Muscle.
Yeah, which doesn't really happen in the first five as much. Or, sorry, first six, but later on it just gets drawn out silly Silly, silly, silly.
But again, that's a part of the problem with a lot of these.
True, that's very true.
Fighting series, which is why I'm not going to get that Dragon Ball Z box set.
Ooh, have you decided against it?
Well, if Kai come, if they release Kai, I'll get Kai.
Well, that'll be years away.
I can wait.
But you
I waited
could, like...
long enough to see any Dragon Ball.
It has been a long time, Jesus Christ.
Are you excited about the new Dragon Ball film?
What, like the new animated one?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it could be... Well, I don't know enough about it, but because it's Dragon Ball, I'm on board.
What about the Hunter, X-Hunter film?
I've not heard of that, tell me more.
They've announced it, I think, this week.
Oh, that's good news, because...
It's the first
one.
I
love Hunter x Hunter.
Which probably tells you that the current series is doing well enough to think they can support a film.
I'm pleased, because as I've said before, I would love Hunter x Hunter to go right through the manga rather than just stopping where the original series did. Which, if it's been as successful as it seems, then hopefully it will just keep going and going and going. Do you still liking it, Brian, or are you...
I check it in on it occasionally. I've not watched it again since the...
fight.
The fight in between your paedophile and,
and
your main character.
See, I don't know how you do that with anything. Like, just jump on in. Like, it's too hard to keep up what's going on. Like, I just think, like, I wish I'd watched the prior episodes to kind of have a better understanding.
It depends what it is. I mean, I was okay because I was watching it for the fight rather than the story. So,
I watched it for both.
I got a general gist of who the characters were because it wasn't like there was some new characters who I didn't know their story, but they were all sitting in the audience.
Yeah, there's not. Yeah, true.
One thing I do like about, say, unlike Kinnikuman Man, there's a Wikipedia and they even have like the win loss records of all the characters.
Dedication.
And the main characters very rarely lose. I will say one good thing about Hunter x Hunter is it is actually willing to let the main characters lose a fight.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so anything can happen, really. Yeah. Especially later on. But I'll not say it.
Yeah, because it's like... I think Kid Muscle's like lost one fight or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, I sometimes don't like that predictability, but sometimes you just got to look past it and just.
I think it isn't that he's going to win a fight. It's how is he going to win a fight is the appeal of the thing. It's like, what is the ridiculous way he's going to exploit an enemy's ridiculous weakness?
Yeah, because in Kinnikuman, like the original series, he makes the bad guy laugh to death.
Yes,
and that's good. And I don't think anything like that happens with Ultimate Muscle. I think it's usually just Muscle Buster, that's it. Or, well, no, there was a fought one. But that's not how he ends the fight, I suppose. Yeah, bring it to Netflix. And I'll if I'm bored, I might put it on, and I probably would. So that's the thing with Netflix. You watch things that you would never watch.
That is true, because I've watched some... I forgot to mention on the Watch You Watch is that I watched some of... God, VR Troopers.
Oh, God, that brings back memories.
And I'd forgotten that the dog talked with a Jack Nicholson impression voice.
I forgot there was a talking dog to begin with. Jesus Christ.
I saw the credits and it got like Zeb as talking dog or something. And then when it started talking, I was like, oh, it's doing a Jack Nicholson voice like that dog in Rude Dog and the Dweebs.
Oh.
Reggie. Maybe before you're... Do you remember Rude Dog and the Dweebs?
Yes, I don't know whether I remember it from the internet or if I remember it like watching it at some point, you know, if I've ever caught it on like an early morning to BBC Two or something daft like that on a weekend. But yeah, Ultimate Muscle, I'm shocked that it's still going. Like, being aired, I just can't imagine anyone wanting to watch it.
I tell you, you're, yeah.
Unless you're an adult, that is, unless you're...
Delve into that, into the lower channels on your satellite, you do find some
gems.
Things you weren't expecting.
Like
Ninja Turtles: The Next Mutation.
That's not the new series, is it?
That's the live action one.
Oh, right.
I do believe. Yes. with the female turtle.
Why did I don't remember this? Any female turtles?
Well, that is on Netflix, so if you want to check it out.
Yep, that's just, yep, I'm sold. If it's on Netflix, no matter how good it is, I'll watch it. Netflix fever.
Right. Anything you want to mention before we wrap up?
excuse me, I've got a bit of a blocked throat. Twitter as normal, ANTASKEW, and ask you. I think that's it. I'm really clammy today because I always record with my door shut.
It's the dog days of summer.
It is, and it's just I can feel myself getting sweatier and sweatier. So yeah, that's me. I'm on Twitter. I haven't been tweeting much lately. I don't want to get annoyed with people about The Dark Knight. People whinge about it. That'll happen. I've already seen some people whinge about it. And I've just stepped back, let them whinge. I'll enjoy it.
Yeah, you can find me at awesome_engine on Twitter. You can find my own website at awesome-engine.com. And you can find this podcast at dynamiteinthebrain.com. You can also find us on iTunes and Facebook. And also we've got a Tumblr, which is dynamiteinthebrain.tumblr.com.
Have you been updating that much?
I have been updating it a lot. It's not always anime related. I think the last few things I did were, let me have a look, I think it was a Kamen Rider Falls post, a Burn Notice post, which is, I believe the caption was, John C. McGinley-ing it up until he is red in the face.
Tumblr.
Futurama. Batman, ooh. Some wrestlers, dressed as samurai.
Ooh.
I'm also going to start putting the episodes up on there as well.
Oh, good stuff, good stuff. If for some reason, if you're listening to this and you've got, follow me on Twitter, if you want to play Final Fantasy XI with me, just message me, because there's not enough people I know that's playing it and I've just bought it again, so... Yeah, I will definitely play, so yeah, that's it.
Okay, that's the episode. We'll see you next time for Schoolman.
Yep.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Oh, Kid Muscle's definitely the worst superhero of the bunch. Oh, God.